Welcome, everybody, to She's
All
Booked,
a podcast for book lovers
and avid readers. Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Alex.
We're two cousins
who are also best friends
who love to read.
Yeah.
Chat about and analyze.
Sometimes overanalyze.
The books we're currently reading.
Sometimes we're on the same page.
And sometimes our pages differ.
But either way,
we always have an opinion about what we've read.
By the way, we're real people.
With real families.
So you may hear cats.
Dogs.
Birds.
Babies.
Or husbands.
So enjoy the bonus material.
Now let's get booked.
Booked!
Listeners, stick around at the end of this episode for some bloopers and bonus content.
Hey, 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 listeners. If you're enjoying our podcast, please give us a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred streaming service to help us reach more listeners and spread the word about our podcast.
Before we get started, we want to include some trigger warnings. This book and the following discussion will include topics of violence and death. So please be aware of that before you proceed.
Also, this is just a reminder that we'll have a non-spoiler discussion first, and then we'll announce when we're getting into the spoiler portion of our discussion beforehand. Hi.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Alex.
What's going on?
Nothing. Me and Alex had a great weekend. I actually seen her twice this weekend.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
And I was like, there you are. Yes,
you're not just a face and shoulders.
You're not AI. You're not. But it was fun. We had Easter Sunday yesterday at her parents' house. We had a good time. We played a really fun game. What was the name of that game?
I don't remember the name. It was something like if you have to or if you had to, something like that.
It was hilarious. And basically, you hand out a bunch of cards and you pick the one based off of the person that's judging and which one they'll hate the most. Mm-hmm. And they have to pick the thing that they won't want to do. And it was really fun.
Yeah,
but also, Alex got tortured for a while because one of them was that everybody had to talk to her in a baby voice. And everyone was like, oh, poor Alex, the whole time. And she was like, I hate you all.
So. Yeah, because I chose that as the absolute worst card in my hand. And there were some pretty bad ones.
No, she had like upside down face. You have an upside down face or something.
Yeah.
Some other things, too. And
there was another one, too, where like
chose
my significant other would sleep with either my mom and or dad. And I chose the baby talk over all of that.
Wait, and her reasoning too is she's like, because then people are going to come up to and talk to me.
No, that was
the other one.
That was a different one.
That was the other one. No, that one was like somebody had to come up to you and talk to you for some reason.
It was the balloon animals.
Yeah,
I had to make a balloon animal for everybody I met. And I was like, that would make me seem too friendly. People would want to talk to me.
That's hilarious, though. Can you imagine? That game was hysterical. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah.
Some of them was so ridiculous and some of them was so funny. Like the best one was the you have to have a mullet. And you have to name the mullet Cornwallis.
Cornwallis.
And then it has to be your best bud.
And it's your best bud. That's the best point. That was my favorite card. That was the best one for sure.
That was amazing. I couldn't believe that one. That was so funny.
Yeah.
But they were all random like that. It was really great. And it depended on who the judge was. Like when your dad was the judge, he was hilarious because everyone would torture him after every single one he said for like 10 minutes. And then finally he'd be like, all right, let me read the next one. One of them was he had to sing everything he said. So everyone just kept singing at him.
For like 10
minutes. And
then
he was rapping. It was just fun.
It was. He was gonna choose that one but ended up deciding that penis feet would be worse than having to sing everything.
Penis toes. Each toe was a penis.
It was penis feet.
Oh, I thought each toe was a penis. I'm pretty sure.
No, it was
either that or he also had he had hooves.
Yes.
So he chose that he could have hooves. So the poor guy, he didn't have the penis feet, but he had the hooves. And he had to sing everything you said.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll find out what the name is of the game and we'll let you know because it's definitely a must at any family function. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's called like If I Have To or something along those lines.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your mom was funny though, because at the end she was like, oh, what's this, a category card?
I know.
And everybody was like, no, that's
It
not it.
wasn't. It was the same card that she looked at earlier in the
In the
game.
beginning, I
Yeah,
know.
and it's
It
just
was just
like
so
an
funny.
informational card. Yeah.
Doug was like, you literally seen that in the beginning when when you were giving us the instructions, don't you remember? And she was like, oh yeah, that's okay. He was like, okay.
It's
Know.
fun
Lots of
though.
fun.
Yeah.
Definitely. Food was good, family fun. And then on Friday, for Good Friday, we actually went to our cousin's house, and that was fun too.
Yeah, it was
So
nice.
everybody got to see each other.
Yeah.
And now I won't see you until May.
Probably,
Probably.
probably. No, I don't know. I might come with my mom one day this week
Yay, I know.
to
But
go to the
it's like
cemetery.
you only want to see me within a week.
I know, right? It's all within the week.
I seen you 2 times this weekend and the week. I'll probably see you, which is
Yeah.
hilarious. Then I won't see you until May.
Plus, I saw you. It was actually 3 times in a week because the previous weekend I saw you at our other cousin's bridal shower. It's
Oh yeah,
literally
that's right.
a 2 week span. This we gotta get all of our visits for the year in this 2 weeks.
Yeah, you've heard of March Madness. This is our own version of March Madness.
Yeah.
We literally seen each other a whole bunch of times, and that was like since probably the last time I seen you was probably Christmas.
It was in February when we went
Oh
to
yeah,
Auntie and
that's right,
Uncle Joe's. Yeah.
Galentine's. No,
Yeah.
we had Galentine's
Oh,
too.
that was
Oh, what are we
after?
talking about? We're talking out of
Wait,
our ass. We've
was
seen each
that?
other
I
once
know.
before.
Wait, was that before or after we went to Auntie and Uncle Joe's for the brunch thing?
I don't know.
I don't
After?
know. I don't remember. I think, yeah, I think Galentine's Day was after that. You're right. It doesn't matter really. They
Yeah,
were also
I
like
think
within a week of each
they
other.
weren't. They were in a week of each other, which is
Yeah.
hilarious. It's either like we won't see each other for a while, and then we're just like, let's see each other in this entire week,
Yeah.
every other day. Let's do it. It's so funny, like how that works
Hilarious.
out. But good. I'm glad. I want you guys to come. I think it'll be fun. Jax gets excited if anybody comes anyway. So,
Yeah.
he'll be happy to see you guys. And maybe it'll be
Yeah.
a nice day. We can walk around or something.
Yeah. I
That'd be
know we were
cool.
gonna visit the cemetery and then probably come by. But you guys could always meet us there
Some
too.
coffee.
Sit outside. Coffee. Coffee.
Speaking of
All
which,
right.
Uncle Ernie gets a quick shout out. The man has the best coffee,
I
right?
know. I told him yesterday, I was like, your coffee was particularly good today. Like, it's
Right?
always good, but it was extra good.
Like he's a barista with a capital B.
Yeah.
He knows his craft.
He
And
does.
anybody else would be like, hey, Jess, you want another cup? I'd be like, no, I'm good. He was like, you want another cup? And I was like,
Yeah.
okay. Just the right ratio of oat, right ratio of oat milk in there.
Yeah.
And then I tell him amaretto, just the perfect splash. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well done.
I know. Good job.
Thank you, sir. Even had decaf from you. I was like, yes, this is
I
excellent. Great service.
Yeah.
All right. There was your shout out, okay?
It
It's been a while.
has been.
All right,
All
we're gonna
right.
shut up now and go to
Yeah.
our word of the day.
Yeah. So today's word of the day, and as you should all know and recall and remember, don't go chasing words of the day. Just stick to the vocab words that you're used to. Except don't. Listen to our word of the day. All right. Today's word of the day from Webster is shambles. It's a noun and it's pronounced shambles.
You're in
What does it
shambles.
mean? Yeah, I am in shambles. What does it mean? Shambles refers to a place or state in which there is great confusion, disorder, or destruction. So, for example, the house party they had over the weekend left the entire living room in shambles. Oh, sounds like a good party.
Well,
Reading
not for
Red
whoever's house
Rising.
that
Yeah, no,
is.
definitely not. But for the attendees, but reading Red Rising left my brain in shambles, and
Oh
not in a
yes.
positive way.
Every night when I would read Red Rising, I would wake up and the book would be in shambles because it would fall asleep on me. And the pages would be like folded and stuff because of the way I slept on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if there's an example in the book. Just about reading it.
Well, I guess you could say Darrow was left in shambles after the whole incident with EO.
That's a good one.
EO?
EO, yeah.
AO?
I think it's EO.
EIEIO. Some might
EIEIO.
say.
Yes.
Bingo. Bingo. All right.
With woof woof here and woof
Oh my
woof
God.
there.
Enough of that. I listen to that song all the time. No, not by choice. Not by choice. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. And on the farm he had a pig. E-I-E-I-O. All right. Did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy? Sorry, that Christmas music. The story. I do like that song. The story of shambles appears to be a bit of a shambles. Somehow, a word meaning footstool gave us a word meaning mess. What? It all starts with the Latin word scamillum, the diminutive of scamnum, meaning stool. Scamnum is stupid, meaning stool bench. Modify the spelling and you get the old English word shemal, meaning stool. Yet again. Alter again to the Middle English word shamels, the plural of shamel, in case you were wondering.
All of this reminds me of Schmeagol.
No, this
I
is
can only
fake.
think of Schmeagol.
Fake. April Fool's, everybody. And give it a more specific meaning, a vendor's table. Squeak that a little, and you arrive at the 15th century term shambles, meaning meat market.
What?
A century or so takes shambles from meat market to slaughterhouse and then to figuratively ap application and then to a figurative application as a term referring to a place of a terrible slaughter or bloodshed. Say, for example, a battlefield. The grim connotations fade over time, but the messiness remains, and voila. Hold on, I lost my place. Voila. The modern sense of shambles, meaning mess or state of great confusion, transition accomplished. I'm left in shambles after
That
that whole entire thing
whole
of trivia.
thing also left my brain in shambles. What the
I want to know
hell?
if it was purposefully made that wanted us to leave us in shambles because I feel it. Now I feel the word.
It's very interesting because it's interesting how language evolves, but really, there was that much history to the word shambles. And then sometimes we have other words on here that we're like, oh, this sounds like a nice word. And it has like no trivia at all. It has no history at all.
Worst history ever. It's like shambles, which means basically destruction and mess, used to mean stool, and then it meant meat market. What the hell happened to this word? The word itself is in shambles.
It's a jack of all trades word. Just you could use it for
Also,
everything.
who went to the bar with friends and sat down? Oh, here looks this looks like a great shamble. What? Who said that?
I don't
And
know.
then somebody was like, oh, what was the other one? Meat market? I'll be right there. I just gotta go pick up some chicken at the shamble. What are you talking about? I
Know.
don't know. I don't
This
like
is,
this one.
I feel
As
like
always, I give my verdict and I don't like
this was the perfect word to go along with this novel because I feel like all the
it.
emotions and experiences we just had reading that are the emotions and experiences we had while reading Red Rising, the first half.
Accurate. Accurate. Yeah, we read the first two acts, and that's what we're going to discuss with you guys today. And be prepared, Scar style. All
Yeah.
right, here we go. All right, so what's this book about? What book is it? It's Red Rising, and it's written by Pierce Brown. This is our first experience with Pierce Brown. All right, so I'll say Red Rising, what is it about? It's a dystopian sci-fi novel following Darrow, a member of the lowest caste in the color-coded society of the future, a red. Like his fellow reds, he works all day, believing he and his people are making the surface of Mars livable for future generations. But he soon realizes that he and his people have been betrayed. He learns humanity has already reached the surface generations ago. It turns out the reds are slaves to the descendant ruling class. And now, longing for justice and driven by lost love, he sacrifices everything to infiltrate the legendary institute, grounds for the dominant gold cast. Cast or cased?
It's cast.
Cast, okay. Where the next generation of humanity's overlords struggle for power. He will stop at nothing to bring down his enemies, even if it means he has to become one of them to do so.
Yep, so that's what this is about. Red Rising.
Sound interesting? Don't get excited.
Red Rising, as just mentioned, is written by Pierce Brown, a New York Times bestselling sci-fi author. He has also written a 6-issue prequel comic book series, which was published in 2017 to Red Rising. He graduated from Pepperdine University, where he majored in political science and economics. He worked several jobs in politics and startup tech companies before publishing the Red Rising saga in 2014. And Universal Pictures acquired the rights for a film adaptation of Red Rising in a 7-figure auction. And supposedly Pierce will be writing the screenplay for that. In 2018, he announced that he would be developing a Red Rising television series and that the film rights have been resold to an unspecified studio. So it sounds like they're going to do a TV show instead of a movie, which honestly is probably better because it's just always better to do a series for a series.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Also, I heard beat on the street is that Pierce Bronson will be in it because that's the only other Pierce people know.
You're just making that up.
Obviously.
Okay.
But I've never heard the name Pierce other than him. He was the only Pierce that I knew that pierced my ears. And now we got Pierce Brown.
Oh my God.
What? It's also a B.
The pierced my ears is
now it's a conspiracy because the only Pierces have the last name that starts with a B. Bronson and Brown. I don't know, man. It's sus. All right, I'm done.
What it is actually is that Pierce Brown is a pseudonym for Pierce Brosnan because he's actually an author, but he doesn't want people to be clouded in their judgment by his star power.
Right. This is
they're like,
alias.
Oh, 007 is writing books now. I don't buy that. So he had to go by Pierce Brown instead.
Right. And now people buy that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Total sense. Mm-hmm. This is why we didn't have to have an April Fool's Day episode for you guys, because are we ever serious? All right. Let's talk about this book that we're not excited to talk about and get it over with. Without the spoilers, do I recommend it? I don't know. We only read the first 2 acts. I can't give you a rating because I just didn't read the whole book yet. But if I was giving you a rating on this, I would DNF it at this point. And I would tell you that I give it a 1-star because I'm like, what the hell's happening? There's so much info dump happening. And I don't like that. I really don't like when authors do that. I like when it's, you know, integrated into the story and it actually makes sense. Or if you're telling us through some kind of, some kind of history, giving us some kind of maybe like, what's that called? Flashbacks or whatever. It's just, I don't think that his writing choice on this was great to just info dump on 140 something pages. You know, it was a little dry for me. I do like the short chapters. I love when they do that. I do like that writing choice because I feel like it makes it more readable, maybe a little more tolerable when you have some dry material. And it did have heavy imagery. There was a lot of story building. And that, like I said, it's just old info dumped in one shot. I kind of don't like that. I don't really love the characters. I'm not connected to the main character, Darrow, in any way. I feel like he really has no personality. I didn't care so much when things happened that we'll talk about in the spoilers, just because I feel like there's a lot of world building around us being explained, but the characters themselves are just like there. I don't know. That's just how I feel. I'll get into more detail, when we go into the spoilers, but I will say me and Alex were talking before and I agree. Like, it's definitely Hunger Games inspired.
Yeah.
If you liked Hunger Games, maybe you will like this. Much different though, but same kind of vibe, how it's young kids. They're all disconnected, but then become connected kind of thing in a way. Not really, but kind of. They're all disconnected in different groups by societal groups.
Yeah, it's a, yeah.
Yeah. And then what else will I say? And then I seen inspiration from Braveheart. Alex didn't connect that, but for me, just a little tiny bit, because if you've ever seen the movie Braveheart, you know that there's a little girl that when his dad dies, and that I don't know if it's his dad and his brother or what, but he loses his family in the beginning. And she gives him a flower, and he keeps that flower, and he remembers her through that flower. And then later, she becomes his wife. He always remembers that. And when she comes of age, he marries her, and then the enemy kills her. So in this, it kind of reminds me of similar, you know, version of that, where this little girl does give him a flower when there's a death. He also returns the favor with a different flower, but that doesn't happen in that movie. But in that movie, he does hold on to the flower. And then later on, you know, he looks at it and remembers her throughout the movie. And something similar like that happens so far in this book. So I just got that vibe. So it's just an inspiration of it. Obviously, it's nothing else like the movie. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to say that. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I don't know if I definitely would have DNF'd this if we weren't doing it for the podcast, but there's a good chance I would have. I started reading the first two chapters. Like Jess said, it's a total info dump and it's just very dry and a lot to digest. I did stop reading it for a few days. I was already having difficulty concentrating and focusing, and it was just really difficult for me to get into. When I went back to it, I did get more into it. And then after the third, like 3.5 chapters or so, it starts to pick up on the plot more than the info dumping. So I was able to get into it a little bit more. If I were to give this first half of the book a rating, it would be a 2.5 for me. I do think that the world building is good. It's very well developed and it's very realized. I just think that the way he went about it was extremely difficult to digest as you're just coming into a brand new series. I understand you want to get that out of the way. And, you know, we have faulted books in the past for not having enough world building. It's just the way he went about it. It's just literally paragraph after paragraph of information. Right. And it's just so boring to read.
Yeah.
I agree about the character development. I don't feel connected to any of the characters. I think Darrow, I don't know if this is something that will persist. We don't know that much about him right now, but he doesn't really seem to have many flaws. He's just naturally extremely smart, but we don't understand why. He's just very good at things. We don't really understand why. I don't really understand the choice to make him a 16-year-old. I have heard that this is a YA, but then I've also heard it's not a YA. I don't think it reads much like a YA. I didn't really understand, except that in this society, you know, they're basically bred from a young age to perform certain tasks. So I guess, you know, men or boys or men of a certain age, once they're able to start working in the mines and stuff, it would make sense for him to be young. It made it more difficult for me to really connect with him because he's so young, but he doesn't sound so young. It was just very bizarre to me. It was a little, just kept me disconnected. I do think that the plot is interesting and I'm hoping that it does pick up in the second half. I think it did start to pick up towards the end of part two. We see him doing some more interesting things and it did keep me more interested, which is why I would give it a 2.5 because I was interested to see where it goes from here. However, if you're just picking this up, I would strongly recommend that you really have to get through those first few chapters before you even get a little bit of plot. It's just straight up. I want to say it's world building, but it's just straight up info dumping. It's all it is.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like a picture. You have a piece of toast and you want to put butter on it. And instead of spreading the butter all over the toast, you just put it a big glob of it in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's like info dumping, glob dumping. But at the same time, also, you have to eat around the whole thing before you get anything exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's effective. You know, I can sit here right now and visualize exactly what this world looks like, how it's broken up. You get all of the information you need. It's just a little bit of torture to get there.
Yeah, the imagery is good, I will say. You know, I do picture the world for sure, but it's a lot. At least split it up where you're going to actually be interested into why you're getting this information.
Yeah, I also think that despite all of the detail you get about the world, there is some information that is still lacking. And I think I'm hoping at least that this is something that maybe we'll get either later in the book or possibly in future books, because we're really getting this information from Darrow's perspective. And as far as we know right now, he doesn't really know everything because he's been kind of suppressed or oppressed in the caste system that he's grown up in.
And
so it's possible Yeah, so it's possible that we will get more information. However, I would have liked a little bit more information about why we have people that are reds and why there are people that are golds and who decided this and how did it come about. And then I do have an issue that I'll talk about in the spoilers that I feel like makes this whole thing kind of moot anyway. So we can discuss that in the spoilers because I don't want to give anything away, but I
Well, let's
still
go
am
on.
having a difficult time understanding why there's these different caste systems when this whole other plot thing happened in the book. So, yeah.
I mean, like we said, this is only the first two acts. A lot of things might change when we start reading the rest of the book, but for now, we're only talking about the first, what I call them, acts. Is that what they're called? Acts?
They're
Parts.
parts. I
I
mean,
don't know
same
why.
thing, same thing.
Well, this isn't Shakespeare. I don't know why I'm saying acts.
It's the same thing. It's just a different word.
And
I
then
mean,
Hamlet came out. No. All right. So we're gonna go to the spoiler part now, and we're gonna get into some spoilers. But if this sounds like a book that you want to read, you want to check it out, then you go do that, and then you leave us, and then you come back to us when you're done reading it. If this sounds like, I don't know, man, I'm not sold on this book, I might not want to read it, keep listening if you don't mind some spoilers, or if you've read it already, hey, stay with us. All right. Spoiler alert. Go away. Go away if you don't want spoilers today. All right, that's
okay.
it.
All right. Well, if you're still here, you have not only listened to all of that, but you also have decided, hey, I would like some spoilers. So, welcome to our spoiler discussion. I guess.
Get into your moot point.
Okay. So, during the first part of this, he, after his wife is killed, we'll get into all of this, but he is also killed, but then is it's a little unclear if he was actually resurrected or if he just never actually died. I believe it's that he never actually died. He
Wait,
then is
wasn't he
brought
hanged?
into, he was hanged, but then he is buried, but he wakes up. He kind of speculates that maybe his uncle drugged him and buried him so that he didn't actually break his neck or anything like that. Anyway, I'll get into that later. He then is brought into this revolution. He's learning that everything he's been taught his whole life is basically a lie. And they're going to change literally everything about him so that he can infiltrate the gold caste and then get revenge basically from the inside out. It's kind of a classic revenge story. However, if you can just change people to become a gold, how are there even reds to begin with? Like, why isn't everybody just turned into a gold? Like, I don't understand why that's a thing that can just happen. And I understand that it was an excruciating process, and most people likely wouldn't be able to undergo the transformation. I believe Darrow actually does die again during this process and is revived. He goes into a coma at one point. But still, it's like, how do we decide? Like, this is the que these are the questions that I'm left with going into the second half of the book, is what's the point of the caste system if we can just change literally everything about ourselves? They change his intellect, they change his appearance, they change his bone structure. Like,
Right.
literally, they change him in every way you could possibly change a person. And so, what difference does it make? I
What
just,
difference does any of it make?
yeah. It just bothers
No,
me
I
because I'm
agree.
like, how do they determine who goes into which caste? And if you wanted to change your caste, it sounds like you could. I mean, it would be an excruciating process, but it could be done.
Well, my question is, did he know that this process of transformation existed before he was dead? Because I know he was lied to, and he finds out he was lied to a lot, but he doesn't find that out until later.
He did
So
not know.
I'm
No,
wondering
he.
if they don't know that they could do this,
No, he
maybe.
didn't know that until he joined the revolution, but it's clear that
Right.
the people working for the revolution know. And
Right.
yet, you know what I mean? I don't know. It just either way, it's just that this technology exists, and in understanding the world where we have these people that are cast as reds and golds and violets and pinks, how do they determine who is cast that way? Are they actually designed to be that way? Is that where we're heading? This is a sci-fi novel. That could be a possibility. I don't know. I still am curious about how that was determined, why it was determined, when it was determined. So the whole premise of this novel is that it's hundreds of years in the future, and people have first colonized the moon. They refer to it as Luna. And then they started colonizing the other planets. The inhabitants of Luna then revolted against the people of Earth and won in that war. It took basically kind of like the independence of America from England. It was a very similar concept. So now, at what point during that entire process were they like, okay, now all of these people, we're going to break into different color groups? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how did we get there? I want to know. I'm very curious.
We don't know. Yeah. I'm assuming yet. I mean, I would assume he's going to explain that.
I hope so.
But, you know, also, I mean, they've gone, even though we're in the future, we've gone backwards. Because they have like little kids getting married, like, oh, she's of age, she had her period, so she can get married now. Like, that's not how it works today. So I don't know how it's going to work in the future if we're just going to go back. I mean, we are going backwards with some things. So maybe that's possible. And maybe this is realistic. I don't know. But I didn't like that. It didn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
That he's the kid and he's been through all this and he's still so young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's
also, why aren't they allowed to sing?
It's only the one
Don't
song.
Don't whistle while you work, apparently.
No, there is a forbidden song and a forbidden dance. And if you dance that dance or you sing that song, you're killed on site. I don't know why they don't explain it.
You don't know why. Exactly.
They don't explain it.
All you know is that you can't do it and you don't know why.
Yeah.
Also, who cares if you sing and dance? Who cares?
You're allowed to sing and dance every other song and dance, just not that one. But again, we don't know why. I'm assuming it's because it is linked to the revolution in some way. But just to give you guys some feedback on that, basically Darrow's wife and the whole reason he wants to go on this whole revenge plot to begin with is because she is killed. So this is where the Hunger Games inspiration came in for me, where I was getting those feels, is that A, they're all broken into these different castes, and Darrow and Io, his wife, are of the lowest class, which are the Reds, and they live in kind of squalor. They're always fighting for food. They're starving all the time. And it was very similar to the whole Katniss situation at the beginning of the novel. Then Darrow and Io decide to go into the woods, which I guess is outside the permitted area. It's not really clearly explained.
Also not explained.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they go outside to look at the stars. The next day, they're both getting whipped. I assume that's the reason why, is because they're not supposed to go into the woods. Again, it reminded me of Hunger Games.
Who saw them go into the woods?
I don't know. Never explained. So then they're getting flogged. They're getting whipped. And Io decides to sing this song, which results in her death. And then,
her down, basically.
Yeah. And goes She's and buries hanged. Her in the woods.
And then he goes and buries her again in the woods. And then they're like, you're dead now.
Yeah. So then
essentially what happens.
Yeah. And then they kill him, but he doesn't actually die. His neck doesn't actually snap, or at least that's what we believe happened.
Right. And which brings up a point where possibly she may not be dead if he's not dead after all that. Because I was confused. I was like, well, maybe she lived. Did she die? Right. We don't know because it didn't say like she died. So who knows? And then later on, I Googled to see, I was like, did she die or not? And they were like, well, I don't know, because in another book, I was like, all right. I don't want to see those spoilers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. As of right now, she's dead, but is she?
As of right now, she is supposed to be dead. Maybe she's not. She did whisper something to her sister beforehand. We don't know what it was that she told her. She is seen as a martyr now, though.
I'm not going to die.
She is seen as the martyr of the revolution. Again, very Katniss Everdeen, where she's, you know, this symbol of resistance now, where the revolution is using her image as this beacon of hope and saying, you know, this person, this little girl, she's about 15 or 14, stood up and was killed for it. And we need to rise up against these golds, the decadent ruling class. And I don't know how, honestly, I didn't really care about any of the characters. I felt like we didn't really get enough time with Io to really care about her. I liked her a little bit more than Darrow, only in the sense that she was like, hey, we need to fight. We can't just like accept things the way they are. And Darrow was just like, no, we can, until she dies.
She had way more personality than him.
Yeah. And then once she dies, he's like, I must get my revenge. And it's like, okay, Darrow.
Gold I must be.
Yeah. So,
Let
but he basically gets like kidnapped by the revolution at this point, and then he undergoes his makeover montage where he becomes the strongest, smartest,
Gold member.
most best person of the gold cast, and then he goes and joins the Institute where
Smoking a pancake.
this is another thing I think is still unclear. What the fuck is the Institute and why do we need it? And it's the Peerless Guard. That he's fighting to become by going to this institute. What the fuck is a Peerless Guard? Why does he want to be it? Why is
We
it a
don't know.
thing? If the gold cast is the ruling cast, why do they need to pit each other against each other in an institute where they have to undergo all this testing? For what purpose? Do they
For
become
practice.
leaders? Practice for what?
I don't know. They're
It's
practicing.
all very unclear. And Darrow doesn't really seem to ask a lot of questions. He just
No,
acts
he
kind of
asks no
arrogant at
questions.
times. Yeah, he just like goes along with everything. He's just like, what are you doing now? Okay, cool. You're gonna change my bones? Sounds right. Like,
Oh my God.
it was just very weird the way we didn't get a lot of information about Darrow. And I don't know if this is intentional, if this is something we'll start to develop more information about him as we go. I would hope so.
Hope
However,
so.
I do think it is the writing which doesn't make me feel confident moving forward, because I'm not a fan of his writing. I do think his writing is very dry. I think you had used that
Yes.
term earlier, and it just makes me feel very disconnected from the characters.
Yeah, it is dry. And a lot of the times there'll be so many books in a series and people are like, I love this series.
Yeah.
And I think we know from Caraval and certain others that that's not always going to be our thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. This could go either way where it could just turn into like some epic crazy shit that we're like, wow,
I
can't wait
think
for the next one.
this is gearing up. I think the plot of this book is good. I think the execution is lacking, but I'm hoping that it gets better. I don't know. Well, I'm willing to see how the second half goes. Based on that, I'll see if I'm willing to see how the second book goes. As of right now, though, I don't know if I really enjoy his writing enough. It's kind of like a slugfest to have to get through.
Yes. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's definitely rough. And like you said, the obstacle is really his writing. I have to
Yeah.
hurdle over his writing. And I'm just like, but I'm falling asleep though. I'm not interested. And
You
then
know,
the last two lines of each quick chapter will be somewhat interesting. And then you go back
yeah.
into the same slug again. And then you're
Yeah.
like, oh, interesting slug.
Yeah.
Interesting slug. And I'm just like, am I interested anymore? I don't know.
I mean, in the first book of a series, I'm always willing to give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that we do have to get through this part. We do need to get through this world building before we can really get into everything else. I just wish he had done it in a more entertaining way. And I will say, I thought the pacing was a little bizarre because, like I said, the first 3 to 3.5 chapters, just full on info dump, nothing's really happening. After that, things start happening. But it also seems like things are very glossed over. The dialogue is, I don't know, to me, it doesn't feel that realistic. And
The dialogue is very lacking for me. I'm
it
a big
is.
dialogue reader. I love dialogue. I look forward to it. I find it always engaging. There's no like tension. There's no nothing. I don't like
Yeah,
that.
it's just not very interesting. And it's the other thing about the writing and the pacing is that when you do get to these more exciting parts of the plot, it's written in a way that's just like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then Darrow did this, and then this person said that. Like, even when he was undergoing this transformation and they're talking about how it was an excruciating
Right,
process and he died,
right.
it would have been more interesting to have that more fleshed out, to kind
Yes.
of understand where he was coming from and understanding his pain. And it was just kind of glossed over. It was just kind of like a really quick thing. And then we were moving on to the next thing. And it makes me think that that's because all of this stuff is going to be inconsequential to the overall plot, that it's going to be this more epic type of tale that's going to span different worlds and universes and things like that. However, like I said, getting through it at this point is just very meh.
Yeah, it's tough. And to be honest with you, what happens? All you really need to know about the first two parts, if you want to skip them, to be honest, the main important thing is that his wife, like we said, she might be dead. And because of that, he undergoes a transformation so that he can infiltrate the enemies. And then he kills a dude named Julian. So we'll talk about Julian, and we'll talk about the kids that are in this group with him in this institute. I mean, there's his friend. He has Mateo. He has a guy that he had met, Cassius, and they become like one of the first picked. So there's like this draft that happens, kind of like pretend they're going into, you know, the NFL. They all get drafted and they're all first round picks. And he, Darrow, is like the number 10th chosen out of like thousands. I think it's like tens of thousands, right?
It was 1,000.
Oh, out of 1,000.
And he got, and he got chose 10th.
He got chosen. And then somebody else was considering choosing him and was like, hope you're available in the next pick. So it's basically like an NFL draft, literally. Yeah. And then they all get put at this table together, which sounded kind of cool. They had like numbers above their heads or next to their heads, like negative numbers. I don't remember why. Do you remember, was it explained why they had the negative numbers? I don't know.
I don't remember them being next to their heads, but I remember that they were all talking about their test scores.
You said floating numbers.
I honestly don't remember that.
Well,
but
anyway.
I do know there was a big emphasis on their test scores and how Darrow miraculously did better than everyone, despite, you know,
and then he
never
was messing
studying.
With this guy, Cassius, and obviously he thinks he needs him on his team because this guy has like an important dad or whatever. So he doesn't want to piss him off. But he's like, oh, ha, I didn't even study. You did, dimwit. Like, you know, basically he doesn't say that exactly, but he alludes to that. And the other guy got like upset. And then he basically says, ha ha, just kidding. And then the other guy's like, okay, cool. And that's basically the whole conversation.
Yeah.
And then I think it's his, I don't know if it's his girlfriend or a girl that he likes. Antonia is her name, right?
Antonia, yeah.
And she does not like him. And he makes it a point to say that the feeling's mutual. They don't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's going to come into play, if that's going to be important, I assume, because why would it be mentioned?
I think she's going to be possibly a love interest, but definitely a player in the story.
Yeah, something's going to happen with that. As far as this Cassie guy goes, Cassius, the people who are calling him Cassie, I think that he's trying to just win him on his side. Later on, there's this guy introduced, this Julian guy who kind of like, you know, basically makes it like, haha, I'm better than you. And then they have to fight. And it turns out not so much better than him because he literally, Darrow kills him.
Yeah.
And Darrow's not happy about this because he's never taken a life before. So this is just the beginning, the start of his new, who he's going to become.
Well, and he is forced. So basically it is a test. Him and Julian are put into a room and they're told only one of you will be able to leave. You have to fight to the death. And so Darrow does end up making the killing blow towards Julian. He does come out the victor, but I do think he loses a little piece of himself at this point. And it definitely, to me, this is a turning point. And I think that's why it is the end of part two. And so I'm curious to see what's going to happen after that. I enjoyed, for the most part, learning about the other caste systems, seeing people from different colors. It was interesting seeing the golds and how they kind of interact with each other. I thought that we got some feedback about some of the other colors. Like, for example, the pinks are basically bred for breeding, more or less. They're used for sex. But they also, I guess, help with cosmetic things because we have Mateo who's helping him to groom, and there was another girl named Evie who was a pink who was cutting his hair and stuff like that. And then we have the greens, which I believe were into technology. They had some type of like alternate reality thing going on. It was interesting to see. So Darrow learns that his whole life working as a hell diver in the mines of Mars, he's been mining this substance called helium-3, which is what they believe they need to use to be able to live on the surface of Mars. After he is abducted by the revolution following his supposed death, he learns, hey, people have been living on the surface of Mars for generations, as it mentioned in the synopsis. And he's kind of taken aback. He doesn't understand what the hell is going on here. He's been lied to his whole life. But it was interesting to see him kind of going through the city and making note of the different colors and what they do in life, basically. We didn't really get a lot of information about this. We got little glimpses. I thought those little glimpses were very interesting. I just wish there had been more of it. I thought his mentor dancer was one of the more interesting characters, personally. Cassius is fine. I don't think he really has a ton of personality to me. Mm-hmm. He seems like a generic.
He was like described as like looks, but that's not much else.
Yeah, to me, he's like a generic side character. It's like, oh, there's somebody who's kind of the opposite of Darrow in personality. And, you know, he's really attractive. So great. But we don't really, you know, we don't really know much else about him. He didn't really have any, to me, substance.
The only thing that's necessary about him, supposedly, he has like a dad that's of importance to Darrow.
Yeah.
So he sees him as an opportunity, this guy.
Yeah.
He's a stepping stone.
Yeah. But like I said, it was interesting to get more information about the other colors. It was interesting to kind of see this city thriving and seeing how the different colors contribute to that society. I just wish we had gotten a little bit more information about this. I do think the testing at the Institute, again, is interesting. It's just that they don't spend a lot of time on it. Even the fight with Julian, it really didn't last very long. No, it was like, and then he's dead. Things, I was like, okay.
He was dead in two sentences.
Yeah.
Half a page. Yeah. The interesting thing was everything interesting was glossed over and all of the not interesting shit was really dived into. And I was just like, okay, like, I don't know. I hope that changes, because if it's going to be something interesting, don't just give me two paragraphs about it. Give me two chapters about it.
Yeah.
If you're going to spend all this other time and everything else.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just how I feel.
I do think some of this needed a little bit of fleshing out. Could have done without some of the inner dialogue of Darrow being like, I hate them and I need to get my revenge. And
it's over like, and over again.
Yeah, we get it. We get it. It was very repetitive.
You're upset, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was understood after the first time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, of course. Go get your revenge. And then after I was like, just go get your fucking revenge.
It was unnecessary.
The one part that sorry, go ahead. You go first.
Oh, no, you can go ahead. It's okay.
The one part that I did like was he has this locket that he wears around his neck that has the flower, that it was Io's flower in it. And there's this one scene where he's at the Institute and he basically has to flirt with this girl in order to seem non-suspicious. And then afterwards he goes into his room and he looks at the locket and he thinks of his wife to let us know, like, you know, I'm not really flirting with that girl. I really don't care about that girl. I have to fit in so this way I can seem like I'm not suspicious. Mm-hmm. But you know, this is the real reason why I'm here. And I kind of liked that because it just showed that he is human, mm-hmm. I guess. And that was kind of the only time he had a personality.
Yeah.
That and when he tried to bury his wife.
Yeah. So the thing with the flower and the locket actually also reminded me of Hunger Games, because she receives that Mockingjay pin from the girl in her town, and then she uses it as kind of a reminder of who she is and what she needs to fight for. And that's exactly what's happening with Darrow now. His wife gave him this flower, he put it in a locket, and now he's using it as a reminder of what he has to fight for. It's just another little thing. Overall, the plot isn't super like Hunger Games, but there's these little things that just come out of nowhere that I'm like, that reminds me of Hunger Games.
Yeah, definitely inspo'd, like definitely inspired by, for sure. Yeah. Especially coming from two people who read the whole series. Like, we see it.
Yeah.
It's there, bro.
Yeah.
You know, you start assembling dead people and turning them into dogs or something, we're going to know.
Yeah.
We're gonna come for you.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. If Julian appears and his eyes appear on some kind of wild ass Mars creature,
yeah,
and I'm not reading this book anymore,
then it's a little bit more suspect. Yeah.
It's Glimmer. All right, I'm done.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, I like this stuff at the Institute. I like that he has to undergo these tests. I wish there was a little bit more information and a reason for it. Again, I don't really understand why he needs to become a peerless scarred, whatever that means, in order to infiltrate the golds. I can only assume it's to establish their leadership, but why do they need to like kill each other and stuff to do that? I don't know.
Well, that also reminds me too of God, I blocked it out of my mind. Not Iron Flame, the original.
Fourth Wing.
Yeah, because I blocked it out. Fourth Wing, how they had to go to this institution and fight each other to prepare for the world.
Yeah. Which, again, doesn't really make all that much sense, but
no.
Yeah.
You can get the same vibe if you just fake fight, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, you can fight not to the death and still learn the skills you need, just like everyone else. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's what we thought.
Yeah. So just to recap, well, we're not going to do the categories in this episode like we usually do. We'll do that once we actually finish the book. It just makes more sense to do it that way. But I, as of right now, I would give it probably between like a 2 and a 2.5. I think I was leaning towards a 2.5 just because the world building is good. It is necessary. I just wish that the writing was better. The execution was better. I think that the plot is interesting. Again, I just wish the execution was a little bit better. And I'm just not really a fan of the characters so much. So as of right now, I can't say if I would recommend it or not. I'll let you know in the next episode.
Alex is hopeful, and that's why she's giving it such a generous score. I'm giving it a 1, and I would tell you that I would DNF if this was like the majority of the book. I'd be done. Yeah. I don't like the writing. I don't like the writing style. I don't like the writing choices. I don't like a lot of things happening, and I don't like the characters. So for me, it's falling short. Whenever something does happen that's interesting, it's just there within a flash. It's gone. And I'm just like, it's not enough for me to keep me interested or focused. Like you, I had a hard time concentrating on it, and I fell asleep most of the time. So for me, it's 1. I know that sounds harsh, but who knows what it will become. I feel like it should definitely pick up because I've heard enough people rave about this book to the point where it was so exciting. So there has to be some point where it's exciting. I just don't know if the writing is going to make it exciting for me based on what I saw so far. So we'll see. Yeah. I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
I
am hopeful because I have heard really good things about the series as a whole. Most people say that the first book is their least favorite. Generally, in like a sci-fi series or a fantasy series, the first book is the driest because there you do have to do a lot of establishing before you can do much more. The things that worry me the most are just how he's kind of glossing over the more exciting plot points. So that's concerning to me. I am hoping that gets better, though, because like I mentioned earlier, I do think a lot of this stuff will be ultimately inconsequential to the overall plot.
Right.
At least that's what I'm hoping.
And, you know, like I'm the type of person, too, where I love the flowery, beautiful, poetic writing. Mm-hmm. Even though we didn't love Let Us Ascend, like the writing was gorgeous. The writing was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Even though we didn't like Caravelle, sometimes she had writing that was beautiful, but it didn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. So doesn't really mean anything, but this is kind of just like meh. It's like it's basic, it's blah. There's nothing really like pretty going on, and nothing really like where you're like, wow, you know, this writing is awesome. It's just kind of like this happened, like Alex said before perfectly, like this happened and then this happened and then this happened, this happened back in the day, sometimes this happens and this was lied about. That's it. You're just getting like documentary type of a voice, and it's not like Morgan Freeman, even, to make it more exciting. It's just like, blah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that picks up.
Yeah. And I don't think the lack of flowery writing is necessarily the issue. It's the lack of emotion.
I'm just saying that's usually my favorite type of writing.
Yeah.
Lack of emotion.
It's the lack of emotion.
There's no emotion. Right.
So things are happening and there's no reflecting on it. It's just like you don't care because the characters don't seem to care. Darrow just seems kind of ambivalent to everything. And maybe this is just a lack of character building on the author's part, but because I don't feel connected to him, I don't really feel connected to what's happening to him.
Right. And I feel like the characters are two-dimensional, but the world is three-dimensional. I see the world vividly. Mm-hmm. The world is there, but everybody in it is just kind of flat.
The world building is very good. Is it dry and boring to read? Yes. Is this the only author that's done that? No. You know, there's a lot of very famous, I mean, friggin' Lord of the Rings has some of the driest world building. Yes, it does. He will spend an entire paragraph describing a blade of grass. You know what I mean? Is it dry?
And it's beautiful.
I disagree.
You're right.
We can agree to disagree on Tolkien. Well, I'm not a fan of his writing.
You're right about that. At the same time, though, in that chapter, so many things will go on, and then all of a sudden, there'll be that paragraph. You know what I'm saying? So at least it's not like the whole chapter is that paragraph, and then there's a tiny paragraph that's like, whoa.
I mean, that's what's happening here. Agree to disagree. But
how dare you compare him to Tolkien?
All I meant to say was that he's not the first author to do this. This is a common thing in sci-fi, in fantasy. There are some great authors that have fantastic series that do this type of world building. It's not my particular favorite, but I can say that it is very effective. It is very good. And you do get a very good understanding of the world. It's just dry to read.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially coming from Keep Your Friends Close. All right.
Yeah, I'm a totally different book. I mean, totally different. Yeah.
But can you imagine if they were like, let's describe the hills for like 15 minutes straight?
We wouldn't need to because it takes place in our world in Hollywood. We already know, you know, they don't need to do world building because we already know the world. We live in it. You know, it's different when you're trying to describe an entire race of people that are living on Mars and what that looks like. You have to do a lot of establishing for that.
Also, can we just, can I just say that anytime anything I've ever read is based in Mars, it's boring as shit. Like, there's nothing exciting. Think about Mars in your head. There's nothing exiting there. Yeah. There's just, it's a red planet. It's boring as shit. Go to the desert and stand there and see if you have fun for 5 hours. Okay. You won't. You won't have fun. You'll see some rocks and pebbles. Maybe you'll never see the same ones. Maybe that's exciting to you. I don't know. But that's how I feel in this book. I don't know. I cannot wait to start the next part because I'm hoping it'll pick up and it'll be exciting. And that'll be like, all right, well, this was where the fun ride was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So to be continued.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you've been listening to us this week, then you already know, but our last episode of season 2 will be next Thursday. That's April 11th. But we'll be back again for season 3 on May 14th. So tune in for that. We will be reviewing the second half of Red Rising, parts 3 and 4, and that will be chapters 20 to 44 if you are reading along with us. And then, of course, join us again this Thursday. That's April 4th for another potty episode related to this novel, the first half, and we'll see how much of a potty we'll have with it.
I know. I was like, should we just not have the potty? Because is this a potty? But we'll try to make it as fun as we can. And I guarantee we can make it fun, more fun than this book has been so far. So that's a guarantee. Anyway, our next book of the month, book club book for April, will be Barbara Davis's historical mystery romance novel, The Echo of Old Books. That episode will air on Wednesday the 24th. And as always, we'll have some more horoscopes for you guys. We'll also have a bonus episode that's going to be airing on May 1st. And for that episode, we'll be reviewing The Will of the Many, a fantasy novel by James Islington. Or Islington. To be continued.
Yes.
To be determined and continued.
Well,
all right. And until then and until Thursday, you guys have fun out there.
Yep. Happy reading. Bye.
Yes. Bye. Hope you all had a great Easter.
Yes.
Peace.
For everyone just tuning in, this is what you can expect from our podcast. We'll be releasing new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, and we'll have a new book of the month on the last Wednesday of every month.
We encourage you to reach out to us with thoughts, ideas, questions, and feedback. You can reach us at shesallbookedpodcast@gmail.com. As always, all books we review will be available at our link in bio or by visiting linktr.ee/shesallbooked. We do make a small commission from any purchases you make using that link, so thank you to all who support us.
And of course, we want to say thank you to all of our listeners. We really appreciate each and every one of you. If no one told you today, you're important and valued. You belong here. You're doing great. And we believe in you.
This chapter may be over,
but the story goes on.
So stick a bookmark in us.
Ouch. And we'll see you in the next one.
listening to my mommy